You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News. Last week, the Ministry of Energy, Mines and Low Carbon Innovation announced it was halting all mineral tenures and mining activities on Gitxala territory on BC's northwest coast, while the provincial government proceeds with reforming mineral legislation across the province. This follows years of negotiation and a successful Gitxala legal challenge of the Mineral Tenures Act at BC's Supreme Court last year. Today, we'll speak with the Minister for Energy, Mines and Low Carbon Innovation, Josie Osborne, as to why this order to halt mining activities is coming now and what comes next. Although Gitxala elected chief Linda Innes was not available for comment, we spoke with her last April as she and other Gitxala leadership were in Vancouver for hearings challenging the Mineral Tenure Act at BC Supreme Court. Stay with us.
Hi, my name is Linda Innes. I am the elected chief counselor of the Gitxala Nation. You know, we have great support for sure. I feel very supported by our nation. I feel very supported by our hereditary chiefs and the rightful title holders of our nation. And I feel very supported by our legal counsel and the other nations that we have as interveners, such as Ahatisat, Gixan, Newhalt, BCAFN, BC Human Rights. So we have a lot of support, and you know, I'm feeling very hopeful that the courts will hear our ask and that we will be heard after. It's a long time overdue. The Mineral Tenure Act is an antiquated law that interferes with our title and rights holders, and it disrespects our laws. And, you know, we've had our history of Gitxala. We've had a history of bad mining within our territory. And, you know, what we're experiencing right now is, and what we're asking for the court, is that the Crown has to declare that the Crown has a duty to consult with First Nations. The Crown has a duty to consult with Gitxala. And that we want the Crown to assess the Crown's duty under DRIPA, and that we're seeking a remedy. Remedy we're seeking is the duty to consult. And under, like, the province has a constitutional duty to consult, but under the Mineral Tenure Act, they actually deny that. And then when it comes to DRIPA, we're feeling that DRIPA is not a promise. It needs to be an act that is actually enforceable.
Linda, I know where this, originated around Banks Island, some mining tenures on Banks Island. There was a devastating rupture and spill on a mine site on Banks Island a few years back in 2015. How do you feel about the possibility of being successful in this case, but also the implication of that this could really change how mining is done in the province and how Indigenous rights are recognized and respected?
Well, there's been court case after court case. You have the Chilcotin, you have the Haida case, and they all recognize, you know, that the duty to consult, especially under the Haida case. And the Crown has never consulted Gitxala, and yet 16% of Banks Island, or Lac Na Go Jau, which is the traditional name of our territory, is slated for with mineral tenures. And we have never ceded or surrendered our traditional territory. And when it comes to mining activity, you know, by the time we're notified that of mining, they're already in the permitting phase under the Mines Act, and we're not afforded that opportunity to participate in that conversation. So, you know, it just doesn't give us that opportunity to engage, and it, you know, the Crown ignores that, the fact that they have a duty to consult, and so do proponents. But in the long term, I think this would open the door for proponents to come in and have those meaningful consultation and engagement with First Nations anywhere in BC.
You know, one other thing I wanted to touch upon is the fact that there are other interveners that are dealing with similar situations. You mentioned the Gitxsan, you know, there are similar situations with mine permits on their territories that are problematic as well. All of the interveners who do fall into this category and have mining on their territory have been impacted in some way because of those mines. How have you and your people and your nation been impacted by some of the ill-fated mines on your territory?
Well, back in 2015, we had a breach of the tailing ponds within Yellow Giant mines, and then the company went bankrupt. So there's never been any restoration of the sites to this date. And those, the tailings were being drained, purposely drained into our salmon-bearing streams. And the province failed to act. Investigators were never sent there in a timely manner. And when they were ordered to shut down, they didn't shut down. So you can imagine the psychological harm that's been caused to our people, to our chiefs, to our landholders, and to our traditional harvesters. Banks Island is a sacred site for our people. And we have a saying that when the tide is low, the table is set, because that has always provided for our people since time immemorial. Our ancestors occupied the territory. They lived there. They used it. They managed it. And it was meant to be sustained for generations to come. And if we're looking at mining within the territory, we are not looking, you know, we cannot fall back on promises that someone's going to do the right thing and clean it up, that someone's going to protect our interests, someone's going to protect the future generation's interests for years to come. If we don't do this now, nothing will change. And there's been talk of mineral reform for years. There's been requests for mineral reform for years, and they've fallen on deaf ears.
Just lastly, Linda, before I let you go, you know, an ideal situation, if you are successful, you know, that's a starting point. But what would you like to see in the future? How would you like to see mining in British Columbia change for the better on all fronts? There's often been talk of having companies to put up a bond in case something does go wrong to be able to clean it up. What would you ideally like to see come out of this?
Well, under the Mines Act, it's been there for years where companies have to put up a bond. But within our Kitikmeot territory, our experience is the bond is not sufficient enough. And then they don't want to put that cost on taxpayers either. So the province is not enforcing that cleanup. So the bonds are really not sufficient to meet the there's got to be better standards all around in order for those bonds to meet the cleanup and the closure. And, you know, like I've seen the regulatory review process, and, you know, those can be co-developed with First Nations on what does that restoration and reclamation look like once a mine is closed. You know, I've seen regulatory reviews where they have these plans on restoration and reclamation. And right now the bond is just a piece of paper, it's money, and it's not sufficient to cover the damage that has been done. And, you know, we're not looking to, despite the concerns from industry, we would expect that there is a duty to consult. We're not looking to harm people. We've been harmed. We're not looking at interrupting the viability of mining. And good proponents will know that the best way to do business with First Nations is to come and speak to the landholders.
Some of what Chief Innes spoke about last year has come to fruition. Although it is still early days, the provincial order stopping all mining activities on Gitxsala territory could be a game changer in the coming months and years. To talk more about how the provincial government is moving forward with mineral tenure reform, here is the Minister for Energy, Mines, and Low Carbon Innovation, Josie Osborne.
Josie Osborne, Minister of Energy, Mines, and Low Carbon Innovation, and I'm in Victoria.
Great, Minister Osborne. Thanks so much for being with us here on CICK News. I wanted to touch base about the recent order that came down from your ministry, halting all mineral tenure and mining activity on Gitxaala territory, something they've been after for some time now. Why did you feel that now was the time to put this order into place?
Well, modernizing BC's mineral tenure system is a long-standing priority, both for First Nations and for government. And under the Declaration Act and our Declaration Act Action Plan, this has been a high-priority item. So in this work, of course, Gitxaala and another First Nation on Vancouver Island went to court and were successful when the justice found that government does have a duty to consult with claim staking. This is a part of that MTA or Mineral Tenure Act modernization work. And as a result of the court decision, we have been working with Gitxaala to achieve a resolution that would see them not go to an appeal, which would have a high risk of a lot of uncertainty in the mineral exploration sector. It's really important to us to focus on this MTA modernization work, to do it in partnership with the nations, but also, of course, with industry and communities to provide that certainty for the mineral exploration industry.
Of course. This current order is a temporary interim order. When could we see some more tangible legislation coming down from the government, especially considering that we're in an election year?
Well, our anticipation is to bring new legislation forward in spring 2025. We're under a court-ordered deadline, of course, which puts our feet to the fire and makes us very focused on this work. And in fact, the consultation and cooperation with First Nations at work has begun, but also industry sessions have begun just this week to do this work. And as I said, we'll have legislation coming forward in spring 2025. And at that time, we anticipate that the measures taken, these interim measures taken in Gitxaala territory would be removed because we will have updated and reformed the Mineral Tenure Act.
Some of these issues around the Mineral Tenure Act and mining activities on Indigenous territories, unceded Indigenous territories, are longstanding issues. This current order only pertains to two nations. When could we see something more substantial that is sweeping right across the province in terms of reforming some of these mineral laws?
Yeah, it is important to understand that these are protective orders for a single instance that the province saw as an act of reconciliation, really, with these two nations and in a response to a court case. It is very important to provide the certainty for all types of land use to continue the work that we're doing with First Nations on modernized land use planning. So that's really sitting down with nations and understanding the places in their territories where activities can take place, or those places where there's sacred or cultural uses that certain kinds of industrial activities just aren't adequate or aren't warranted there. And so that modernized land use planning really provides the foundation for the long-term certainty that the natural resource sector is seeking and that First Nations are seeking too. So we're continuing that work with different nations around the province. And in the meantime, we're going to stay very, very focused on this MTA modernization work.
As I mentioned earlier, a lot of these mining issues have been longstanding across the province. First Nations right across the province, never mind the country, have very similar issues as does Gitxaala. Gitxaala ended up in court last year fighting this Mineral Tenure Act in Supreme Court. Why does it have to get there, and what comes next after this? What's your hope moving forward on this file?
Well, I think that our government really recognizes that we are working in a new era of reconciliation and of truly recognizing, acknowledging, and accommodating Indigenous rights and title, First Nations rights and title. And that requires a transformation of the way we make decisions and of the way we work with First Nations. And I think industry also sees that. And there are so many examples across the province about how industry is working in partnership with nations. And we all want to see a successful and thriving natural resource sector, including First Nations. So this is very much about sitting down and doing that hard work with First Nations and about avoiding courts. I mean, I think that that's ultimately one of the main points here is that we don't want to go to courts where there's uncertainty about what the decision will be. We see timelines and decisions that make it very hard for both First Nations and government to implement quickly. Instead, we're taking the approach to work directly with nations through modernized land use planning, to sit down and have that understanding with industry, and to work together in partnership. And that is how we are going to see success across the province. And I think this is one example of how we're turning the tide there.
Okay, we'll leave it there for now. Minister of Energy and Mines and Low Carbon Innovation, Josie Osborne, thank you so much for giving us your time and insight today.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.